good to be in the Lord's house. Yet I was thinking as we were driving down this morning, I don't think I'll ever get tired of making the effort of going to church. I don't think I will. It's just, it's a hole in your life to have to miss church. It really is. We talked, I'm going to finish up. Brother Don was gracious enough to give me the opportunity to add a few more things to our lesson on knowing and understanding God are the gaining of wisdom because we fear him. And I'm going to restate Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. It said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. To fear God is to start to understand that he has the power to do that, that he is the one that will do it. And that in itself ought to create an awe of God. We know in Proverbs 1:7, it tells us that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We have a lot of people out there that claim to be pretty wise, but we've got to stop and think. They're smart to the world, but are they smart in God's eyes? And that's what we've got to look at. And we've got to make the difference. We've got to realize that a guy can stand up there and give you all kinds of theories and answers and how to split the atom and how to do this and how to do that. But what does God see in this individual? And then what does he see in me? And we know in Jeremiah 9, turn over there for just a moment. Jeremiah 9 and verse 23, and this is repeating from last week, but it says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, and in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Glory in this, that he understands. And you know, we spend our lives building a life, if you will, what we call building a life, homes and inheritances and different things that we are going to leave behind someday. But God only sees us as glorious if we know and understand him. And that's how he looks at his children. Because we spend too much of our time on too many other things, and we don't stop to say, okay, what does it take? I want each one of you to take a pen and a piece of paper, if you would. And I want you to write these letters down. R-H-E-M-A-M-P. I'm going to teach you a new word this morning at the end of the class. But anyway, remap. And we're going to talk about remap here in a little while. But first of all, let's turn over to Job, the 28th chapter. In Job 28 and verse 28, the statement is made here, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So that gives us a definition of what wisdom and understanding really is. There's benefits in fearing God. And we're going to talk about some of those benefits this morning. But he says, and to depart from evil is understanding. Without fearing the Lord, man cannot begin to come to salvation. Can't happen. You've got to put into men a respect of who God is and what he is. And we talked, I've heard it said many times, sometimes to get a person saved, you got to get him lost first. In other words, you got to cause a man to understand what his end is if he keeps going down the path he's going. I remember the old joke, Are you saved? From what? We've got to be able to tell them from what they're going to be saved from. In order to get him saved, you got to get him lost. That's all there is to it. Men did not believe they're lost. They don't. Without God, I can live my life without him and be just as well off now and in eternity as anybody else. And we've got to spend some time. The fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. You sit in class when you're in high school or college, and you're supposed to be learning, and you listen, and you hear it, and that's wisdom that you're building. But do you understand it? And that's the difference. In God's Word, you got to just stop and think. When you just look at God's Word, you're looking at something miraculous, whether you believe it or not. God's Word is miraculous. How could he take a period of 1,500 years and inspire different men from different categories of life to pen his Word and have it all coincide and mesh? And it's the only book that tells you man's beginning all the way through to man's end. And during the course of that, we're going to experience things in our life. And from that experience, what kind of knowledge do we gain? To understanding is to depart from evil. And so you say, well, boy, I just can't keep from doing the things that I just hate doing. Well, what do you understand about it? What do you understand God's Word to say about it? That's why we need the Scripture, because without it, you're not going to be able to depart from evil. Without understanding the Scripture, you're not going to depart from evil. Turn over to, first of all, while we're in Job 28, look at verse 20. The question is asked here, whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? And verse 28 gives us the answer, right? And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Go to Proverbs 14, and we're going to look down through here. In verse 2, it says, he that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth. So, fear of the Lord, to depart from evil, is understanding. And then, he that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. Your fear of the Lord, or your respect for him, can be seen of others. That's all there is to it. You go through life, and people will praise you for various things that you've accomplished in life. But the only thing that matters is if they can see the respect that you have for God. And how do we show our respect for God and his ways? Depart from evil. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. Now, he that walketh. Now, walketh has the reference here to living a life, your walk in life. If you have a fear, utter, awesome, total respect for God, others will see it. It says here, he that walketh in his uprightness feareth. He that lives for God has a fear of God, has an awesome respect of him. Look at verse 8. It says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools. Wisdom is understanding God. Look at verse 15. It says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. A wise man heareth and departeth from evil. So one of the major benefits of fearing the Lord is going to be able to turn your back on evil. And that's why we have a world out there that is so evil. And I'll tell you, every man has it in him to be evil. Every man does. And the only thing that counteracts that is how much that individual fears God and knows God. And the Bible tells us, I looked at this scripture, don't even put your faith in a brother. Don't even put your faith in a brother, because a brother can turn against you. He has the capability of turning against you. He has that kind of a makeup. And so when we stop and compare, where is our faith put? There's nobody that I thought more of than my dad. But when I come to the realization as a teenager that I can't put my faith in my dad, but I can put it in God, when the Lord saw fit to reach down and touch me and save me, then I started hearing and reading and deciding that I had my faith in the wrong place, even my dad. My faith needed to be in God. And so we need to understand that the simple believeth every word, but the wise man, the prudent man, looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil. So what is the way of going? Is to depart from evil. And a fear of God gives us the ability to do that. If you don't fear the Lord, you're not going to depart from evil. You don't respect him, you don't love him, you don't stand in awe of his power, what he can do now, what he has done, and what he will do. If you don't stop and contemplate on all those things, you'll not depart from evil. You'll still be wallowing in it. And I would say this, an unlearned saved man can do the same thing and wallow in it, because he hasn't read, he hasn't studied, he hasn't heard, he hasn't not comprehending and understanding what a fear of God can do for you. And so if you've got an evil in your life you want to get away from, read about it, study it, talk to somebody about it, hear it, and then experience the joys of having been able to overcome it. And that's all the fear of God. That's all it is. In verse 26 of that same chapter, he says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. So you want to live for God, you got to fear him first. You got to fear him first. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. And then in verse 33 says, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that has understanding. You want a peaceful life. You want to be able to, well, as my dad used to say, you're only a man if you're a man when you lay your head on the pillow in the dark and close your eyes, and you can consider yourself a man. That's when you're a man. So basically what he was saying is people will look at you and they can tell where your love and respect and awe is by the way you live. I want us to look at, okay, let's go to Proverbs 19. And let's go to verse 23. It says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied, and he shall not be visited with evil. That's a promise. Tendeth to life. You want your life to be good. You want it to be sweet. You want to be just enjoy your life. The only way you can do it is to fear God. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. I'll tell you what, out there in the world today, there's a lot what is referred to as mental illness. And I believe that a good majority of mental illness is due to sin and due to people being unhappy. And they're unhappy because there's no way for them to get happy. You can con them into believing they're happy, but internally, they're not feeling happy. They're not feeling glad. They're not feeling that suicides. They're not feeling that this is a life worth living. That's what happens. And so a good portion of mental illness is having no respect and no fear of God. We need to pray for these people. Tendeth to life. Go to Luke 1 and verse 39. Let's go there. Now this is Mary coming to Elizabeth. And in verse 39 it says, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." John the Baptist. "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." And that in verse 46, as we read this, "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, and behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree." And she goes on, and you read how Mary, how her fear of God caused her life to be just an absolute, if you will, model of what one of God's children should be. And she contributed all this to her fear of God. And we need to realize that if we want people to look at our lives, you know, she said, "I'll be considered blessed forever." Mary is blessed, not to the point that the Catholics like to make, but she is blessed. And yet, she just looked at what she thought of God. Just read those things. She goes on, "He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." Mary had a fear of God that was just exemplary. And we need to read after her and see and emulate, if you will, her. Every young girl should be taught about who Mary is. What she is, not just the mother of Christ, but her life, why do you think God, you know, you're not going to be able to answer this, I can't either, but why do you think God picked Mary? What do you think he did? Mary loved God. Absolutely loved it. And I've got a feeling that God could look and say, okay, there's a woman. She is not going to glory in anything in her life other than what she was able to be used of God. That's what she's going to glory in. And that's what I fear, that's where our glory should be. Glory in this, that you fear God. And that's where we ought to be. Once you go over to Exodus 20 for just a moment. And you're familiar with Exodus 20 because that's where the Ten Commandments are listed. And notice in verse 20, chapter 20, verse 20, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces. What? That you sin not. For his fear, in other words, right in front of you, the first thing that comes, the first thing you think about, the first thing you want to live with is the fear of God. If you're going to be able to depart from sin. The Bible tells us that the fear of God will cause you to be a soul winner, to win people. So you look and you say, well, boy, that's, you know, I haven't led anybody to the Lord in a long, 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 long time. Maybe it's because you're not fearing God the way you should. I gave you those letters. Look at them. And let's just talk about this for a little bit. R stands for read. Reading God's word. You cannot develop a fear of God without reading his word. H stands for hearing. You have to hear his word. You have to hear the preacher. You have to hear the teacher. You have to hear God's word. You have to read it. You have to hear it. And the E stands for experiencing it. The things that you read in the Word of God, the things that you hear about God, you need to experience it. And then you need to look back on the times that you did experience the awesomeness of God. How did it apply to me? And what did I see in that? And what do I see in that now? The M stands for meditate. Meditate on those things you have heard, you have read, and you have experienced. Ponder them to the point that you say, okay, didn't understand it then, but I see it now, and how awesome God is to bring me to that. The A stands for apply it in your lives. You read it, you've heard it, you studied it, you experienced it. You meditated on it, now apply it. Use the knowledge that God has given you through a fear for him to apply it, to speak to people with it. I often heard, you know, people have said, well, I just don't know how to talk to people. I don't know how to witness to people. Just tell them what God did for you. Just tell them what God did for you. Tell them that through studying his word, you understand where you were going before God touched your heart. You understood that your eternity was in a devil's hell before God came and his spirit touched you and caused you to look to the cross. Just tell people what he did for you. Okay? Apply it. And you say, well, you know, I can apply it, but I don't know exactly how to do it. Practice it. That's what the P stands for. In other words, if you don't have fluency in applying it, then practice more and more and more. and tell it to more and more people, and they're going to see in you how deep your fear of God really is. They're going to see it. So can't make it any, you know, it's not complicated. It's really not. And people will, you'll find people out there that will try to convolute the scripture to the point that, you know, I believe this and I believe that and I believe this and that and that. It's simple. Your fear of God is a simple thing. But you've got to fear him. And I never realized how much there is in God's word. And I've just scratched the surface. I've never realized how much what it is to fear God until I started studying it. Started studying it, and I thought, wow. You know, God just didn't say, okay, here, you're saved. Don't sin anymore. He gave us all kinds of instructions on how to overcome the sins in our life. How to overcome it. And I praise God for that. And it all boils down to a fear, an adamant fear of what God is capable of. But more than that, an adamant experience as to what he's done. And a knowledge of what he's going to do. And I'll tell you what, you cannot. I was just thinking, I read something about, I don't know, crossword puzzle or something. A part of the body that is close to the stomach. And the answer to it was spleen. Boy, God knew just exactly how to put all these various organs together. How to give us a nervous system, how to make the blood flow, how to make us grow, how to protect us with skin, etc., etc. Just studying the human body will put you in awe of God, the things that he has done. So we need to look around us and say, okay, wow, God did it. He did it, and I need to acknowledge it, and I need respect him and love him for all that he's done. Pastor Lita.